Announcements this morning. Good preaching in the announcements today, I think. But the call of Christ to be available to serve, we're going to pick that up, of course, as we look at a text that is very relevant on a couple of points. First of all, it's because this is how Jesus lives. And I'm looking at your mission statement and vision statement for your church, being on mission, following Jesus. So we need to look at how does Jesus actually do his mission? Not on the technical side, like taking notes like, did he heal left-handed or right-handed? You know, like sometimes we get obsessed with the technique. We need to look at the heart of Christ. And we're going to be looking at a story that's familiar, but hopefully with fresh eyes. But just before jumping into that, wanting to say a huge thank you on behalf of MB Mission for the partnership from your church with your sending agency. It is a privilege to personally work with Pastor Xavier. There's a huge project we're working on right now of bringing some Chinese pastors, some reps of the Chinese conference here to Africa in May, because the African church has asked the Vancouver Chinese church to help start a church planting movement amongst the Chinese diaspora in Africa. There's more than 1 million Chinese people living in Africa. So that's just a small project on the side that we're working on, trying to figure out how do we answer the call from Africa to help start a planting movement of Chinese churches. Like, that's kind of cool, hey? To be involved with that. So I guess I should just quickly to introduce myself a little bit more, and thanks for that quick setup there, because wanting to get right into the text, but I'm married to Andrea. She's like your chairman today, an actual Vancouver born and raised person. I have myself moved from Toronto in 94 to attend Regent College, and I've met many people like myself who've come from other places to Vancouver, but there are a few actual native Vancouver people, including yours truly in the front row. So and my wife, but I don't know if you guys ever met each other, probably not, but blessed to have a couple of kids. Parker is 16 and my daughter is 14. We live in Richmond. They go to Richmond Secondary, so we pretty much live in Asia, so this is feels very familiar. Plus, in the 80s, especially in 83, in my first chance to go, I had a privilege very early to be in mainland China when it was still very closed and very shadowy and very curious, and that led to several different experiences where I ended up being invited to live with a Chinese family in Shanghai for a year in 88. So I have a Chinese family in Shanghai, and over the years I've come to realize, as I've talked with folks maybe like more like yourselves, sometimes people say, yeah, I kind of feel like a banana. I feel kind of Asian on the outside, but kind of like Canadian on the inside, whatever that might look like. And I thought, I feel like an egg. I feel kind of like white on the outside, but kind of like Asian on the inside. But maybe we all just kind of meet in the middle as the Lord brings us in this from everywhere to everywhere sense of his development. But it's a special privilege to be here as a mobilizer. This isn't something that I've just started to do with this job. I mean, this is something that I have been doing both before I became a pastor, and I was privileged to be a pastor at Point Grey Community Church in Kitsilano for 17 years. And one of the biggest joys we had was seeing people coming into the kingdom, living on, you know, our church living on mission, involved with the university, involved with marketplace ministry, involved with the school across the street, seeing people coming into the kingdom, growing in discipleship, and then stepping out in service for Jesus on his mission, including to the ends of the earth. So that's been something that's been a particular delight. And then the Lord called my family a few years ago to actually move to Thailand. So we ended up, this is a very clear call that we had, and we ended up living in downtown Bangkok, seeing on the front line some of the fast-breaking moves of God, including being in Myanmar as it was just starting to open up a few years ago there. So Burma or Myanmar, this country that had been pretty much closed for several decades, suddenly the door opening and the opportunity to go in and to see, like, what is the opportunity and what is God What is God leading into? So we'll touch a little bit on that today, because that's a big theme in our world within our agency. But then from there, the Lord called us back to where I grew up in Toronto. We spent a couple years developing the C2C Church Planting Network. And then while there, I was invited by Randy Friesen to move into this role back here in British Columbia. So kind of starting from Vancouver, going to Thailand, going to Toronto to come back to Vancouver. So the road between the local church and Ebby Mission went through Bangkok and Toronto. And I think this is so fascinating. But delighted to be here with this heart for the global picture of the Lord that goes right to where we live today. And it all fits together. So if you could join with me in turning to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at a very familiar passage for anyone who's been in the church growing up in Sunday school. Zacchaeus would be one of those accounts where there's even the Sunday school song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. We could sing that. Wanting to look in a fresh way at this familiar story. So we'll be looking at the first 10 verses of chapter 19. And this is really important because next week is Palm Sunday. This is the last ministry account of Jesus' public ministry before he enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. So this is a time marker and an important story all at once. Jericho is the place where Jesus is entering here, and just for a quick reference, it's about 25 kilometers from here to Jerusalem through a very difficult passageway. This road is very treacherous and famous. In fact, it's where the parable of the Good Samaritan was told. So this is 25K. If we're going to walk from here, I quickly looked it up. Where is it from East Van to, well, Guildford Center in Surrey? Anyone been to Guildford Center? So if we're going to finish the service and go for a 25K walk, that's a pretty good walk. And then imagine it's up and over hills and through treacherous land where there might be raiding parties. And, but not that far, but not that close. So this is the last lap of Jesus before he enters Jerusalem. He entered Jericho. Hey, I can read it right here. Yeah, they're high tech. And he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who's a chief tax collector, and he was rich. The two phrases go together. Tax collector is someone who's skimming from the neighbors, endowing their own self. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, and he has, I restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, Today salvation's come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's the mission statement of Jesus, that last phrase. The Son of Man, Jesus is self-declaring his mission statement, came to seek and to save the lost. How does Jesus live on mission? What can we learn from his heart and how he lives so that we too can live on mission, fulfilling the same sense of call? So we pick up this narrative here at the chapter of 19, entering into Jericho. There's a sense of momentum, a sense of movement. Jesus is moving into his Passion Week. The crowd is hurrying him along. The disciples are hurrying him along. At the end of chapter 18, a blind fellow actually interrupts the parade and he cries out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus demands that this blind man, this chapter 18 at the end, this blind fellow be brought to him. He heals him. The crowd rejoices. And the crowd's like, all right, let's get moving to Jerusalem. Why? Because they all are expecting for Jesus to initiate the kingdom now, meaning we're going to get rid of the dreaded Romans, set up again the temple worship, and this is going to be awesome. They don't understand the idea of the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' primary teaching, and Jesus' primary gift to us all is to initiate his kingdom, which is coming more and more forcefully these days. So Jesus is passing through. People are excited about the blind guy getting healed, and now they're really wanting to get to Jerusalem with a bit more skip in their step. Jesus, the first time, was stopped by the blind man, by him crying out. This time, Jesus stops. Imagine you're in the crowd. There's three primary, if we look at this as drama, there's Jesus, there's the crowd, the handlers, and there's the person of Jesus' interest, who he talks to. The crowd's hurrying Jesus along. Let's get going to Jerusalem. We got 25K, not an easy hike, right? Come on, come on, come on, let's get this kingdom started. Even the disciples are thinking, hey, could I get on the right and the left side? Like when Jesus, when you start your kingdom, could I be the number one guy? I'll be the number two. Cool. Everybody's not quite understanding what's happening, but they're in a hurry. Jesus knows what's going to happen, and he knows he's going to give his life. What a moment this is. Jesus stops. You can feel the tension here, another delay. And he calls Zacchaeus by name and says that he must dine in his house. And Zacchaeus is what? He's the wrong person. He's a sinner. The blind person was like, okay, this is pretty exciting. Well, he healed the blind guy. Awesome. Wait a second. He wants to talk to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is the wrong person. Zacchaeus is the collaborator with the Romans. Zacchaeus is the guy who's reaching into everyone's wallets, extracting the hard-earned shekels to build up his own kingdom. This is the wrong guy. Jesus stops, calls him by name. Everyone says, no, not this guy. Now, you notice about Jesus, how he ministers. Again, not the technique, but look at his heart. He calls him by name. Jesus calls people by name to come into his kingdom. We know in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, like, if I come and I knock at the door, open. And, you know, we think, like, Jesus, what are you doing on the outside of the church? Well, apparently Jesus can get let outside if we're not walking with him. So he wants to fellowship with us. And he wants his kingdom to extend and expand with whom? With lost people. My friends, I don't live that far away, and this morning I thought, I can walk to the Canada line, I'm going to take the bus across, I can get here, no problem. I rode the bus from Granville through Hastings, and then up Renfrew. By the time I finished, you know, we all go through Hastings once in a while. I don't think I've been on the bus along Hastings before, and even early on Sunday morning, oh, my heart is so broken. Like, you know, it's a disaster in so many ways. Like the broken humanity along the street this morning. Beautiful sunny day. People coming on the bus. Like people who are just barely alive, it seems. Lord, have mercy. And then there's wealthy lost people too. People that are taking advantage of the poor, people who are living unjustly, greedy people in Vancouver. This is a time for the kingdom of God to advance in this town. This is a time for Jesus to be lifted up, to be glorified in this town, and for the Holy Spirit to be poured out afresh. This is how we gather and we pray with hopefulness. And you're going to be having a multi-congregational gathering on Good Friday, and we press into the cross. We press in with hope for Vancouver. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on Vancouver. My dear friends, has anyone come in this door today and you're not sure of where you stand with Jesus? Would you say, like, actually, Greg, you know, I feel kind of lost today. I've heard about Jesus. I want to know him. That's why we gather together, to worship and to say, this is the day of salvation. Today is the day we're talking about from this text, because that's where Jesus goes with Zacchaeus. So we see Jesus giving this personal attention. Jesus knows stuff about people. The Holy Spirit continues to speak to us about lost people, either family members, friends, neighbors, or random strangers. God can give you insight on how to pray for people. God can give you insight by his Holy Spirit of what you could say to someone that would unlock their heart for the gospel. Jesus is on the job today because he loves lost people. We see the crowd shudder, not this guy. We see Zacchaeus overjoyed. We see Jesus clarifying his calling. As we close, there's some things that are so relevant for today. First of all, the heart of God remains true. Is there an amen? The heart of God remains true. Amen. Yeah. Lost people still matter to God. This is a very serious word and a very hopeful word. Serious because people are living in harm's way without God. Hopeful because this gives us confidence as we step out to share about Jesus, we're in God's will. And God actually wants his will to be done. And we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, may your will be done on earth as in heaven. Do you know that God still today, he wants his will to be done in Vancouver? Isn't that going to encourage your heart? You're praying according to God's will, things will move for his glory. It also gives us a sense of urgency that today matters. Verse 5 and verse 9 in this text, not once but twice is the word today. Today, like, could be a metaphor, like, you know, like, pay attention, today-ish. Do you know today can also be literally, like, today? So between now and when, should the Lord give you rest tonight, you know, so you get the whole day, the whole afternoon, this evening, are you going to live on mission with Jesus guiding you and opening your eyes? This is the sense of urgency. Today is all we have, my friends, biblically. Should the Lord give us tomorrow, then we have tomorrow. But today is our day of mission. This is the heart of God. Some of you here, looking around, some of you are younger and really young. Awesome. So glad you're here. Do you know you don't have to wait till you get older or have a degree? You don't have to wait till you get a care package for university. What's in that? I'm really curious. Okay. What is in that? That's so awesome. Today, you can turn to your friends. Today, you can Snapchat. Today, you can say to someone, as the Lord would lean into your heart, you can share a word of hope. So the heart of God remains true. Lost people matter. It gives us confidence and urgency. Secondly, we see how Jesus does this ministry on the way, and it is to where he is going. Jesus does not, we see in the text, Jesus is going to Jerusalem. We watch the life of Jesus time after time after time. Jesus is interrupted by ministry. Now, as I became a pastor, this would be about 20 years ago, I came from the business world. I have a business degree. I had been working in commercial sales in Toronto. I thought I was going to be a tent-making missionary to move to China. That's why I was going to get this Regent College degree. I was thinking about commerce, and it was very planful, very organized, and God interrupted me on the way and invited me to join the staff of a local church, which was awesome, but that was like a surprise. But it was God's call. It was affirmed. It was like, okay, I condescendingly thought I'll help out the church for a couple of years, then I'll get back onto my business program. But 17 years later, as we wrapped up the ministry to the next thing, clearly God had called me into pastoral work. And I brought my, and I'm from Toronto, very organized, a business degree, know how to plan stuff. I brought all that into my pastoral work, and I was continually frustrated by this one thing. People. You're like, oh, that's so, oh, come on. No, people kept interrupting me. I was working on a sermon. And then someone would want to talk to me, like, don't you know, I'm like, I'm getting ready to preach. Like, oh, wait a second. Yeah, I need to, like, I'm working on a ministry project and someone has having a crisis or a pastoral moment. I'm like, no, I'm working on a project for you. Oh, the people. So I had to learn, and all the pastors have to learn this, all the people of God have to learn this, right? We have the ministry of interruption. You've heard of the ministry of intercession. We have that too. This is the ministry of interruption, that we're on the way to doing something even for God. And guess what happens on the way? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the heart of God brings opportunity for us to actually share with people. This can actually happen to you. If it doesn't often happen, maybe we're just not awake and aware of how God is providing opportunities that are before us. He's also gracious if we've blown by it and thought, oh, like, have you ever had that feeling like, uh-oh, I think I just raced by an opportunity. Or you had the chance to say something for Jesus and you clammed up, you weren't sure what to say, and you just, like, kept going, and then you realized after, oh man, I think I should have said something. The Lord is gracious. But get ready for the next one. This is how Jesus lives all the way through his ministry. He's interrupted and he calls out the interruption. So let me just quickly tell you an amazing story that I saw, because MB Mission, we have this connection to the global work of God across the whole world. And I had the privilege of being with a church planter in Burma a few months ago, who's a former Burmese monk. And now, as he's come into the kingdom of God, called to follow Jesus, now he's become a church planter and evangelist. It's kind of like in country there, it's kind of like Saul becoming Paul, someone who's going from attacking the church to now building the church. So I'm working with this church planter, evangelist, and one of our long-term missionaries. We're in the middle of nowhere in Burma. Like, I looked around and thought, if anything happened to us, no one would ever find us. Like, we're off the grid. There is no cell. Wait a second. There's no road. It's just out there. So we had this chance for the morning to encourage some Christians, some pastors in this area that had more than 100 years ago become Christian, but they had this kind of clan mentality, and so this people group was Christians for a long time, but people groups nearby, they hadn't quite got the heart for missions. This is why we're there, to say, you know, we thank the Lord that you're enjoying the gospel, but you need to also share the gospel across cultural lines within your own country. So we had a great morning, and we thought we were done. The Burmese fellow, he only has one category for it to be a great day, and that is if he gets to share his faith with someone who's lost. So he thought it was okay. It was an okay day that he's encouraging some pastors and Christian leaders. Like, that's okay, right? Not so bad. But it wasn't a great day, because he wasn't sharing his faith. So we think we're done. We have lunch, and we're going through this little village. Like, it's just I doubt it's even on any map. Like, it's just one of those, like, there's lean-to huts, and it's really small and simple and broken. And, the whole economy is broken. The whole country is broken. Everything's barely happening. And we get invited into this little hovel. Like, it's this little bamboo lean-to hovel, where one of the people on our team knows that there's a farmer and his wife. One of them's a Christian, one of them's not a Christian. So at least here's a chance for our evangelist to share his faith. Remember, he's a former monk. So he has quite a lot of credibility with people to share his faith. So he's sitting there with this farmer couple, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 other people come up on bicycles or scooters, and we're all sitting on this little hovel hut, knee to knee now, and he's clearly giving his testimony. And they're interacting, questions are going back and forth, and we're definitely praying. Like, I don't know Burmese, but I know like he's definitely sharing his faith. And he asks the question, and five, including the spouse of the farmer, five out of five people's hands go up to say yes for Jesus. So he leads them in a repeat after me prayer. And I'm like, this is amazing, you know. And for our evangelist, this is now a good day. That goes, okay, now it's good. Because like he said, once in a while, when I asked him after like what actually happened, he said, yeah, once in a while I see the five for five come to Jesus. I'm still thinking like, that's awesome. He thought this is pretty good. Now we think we're done. And now we think we're going to go back to the place where we're staying. But now we're invited into the village hut. It's the school, the community center. It's got this generator chugging now. It's getting in the late afternoon. And when it's dark, it is dark, right? So there's a couple of light bulbs hanging and chug, 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 chug. And the whole village, from grandma to babies, all come out, all sitting in this hut. Now, I think the three of us who were white were probably the first white people ever in the village. So maybe we just get a little bit of celebrity status there of like, who are those odd-looking people, you know? So we're there. But so the evangelist guy, he pushes me out first. He's like, he says, say something about the love of God, but don't say too much because we don't know this village. And sometimes the local Buddhist authorities are actually really nasty. Like, this is not like the love. Program, which is actually kind of a sham, but like this is state-sponsored Buddhism, like very nationalistic, very feisty, very like they burn the Hindu villages, kind of uptight. So he says, say something about the love of God, but not too much, because we don't know who these people are. This former monk is continually under threat of death or prison when he's in country. It's very serious. So I get up there and I'm like, hey, Burma. And they're like, hey, Canada. And with a translator, I say something about the love of God. And I sit down. I'm like, I hope that wasn't too much. He gets up there and he's got a Bible out now on the table. And I'm looking and I'm like, I lean to our veteran missionary. I said, is he preaching? Oh, yeah. He's preaching. So we're praying now, right? The whole village is in this hut. And I lean over to the long-term missionary. So, Dave, like, what's going to happen next? He says, I have no idea. So he calls the question. The whole village puts up their hand. Now, I asked him the next day to, like, very carefully, I was transcribing, like, what happened. Did the whole village just say yes to Jesus? And he said, yes. I said, have you ever seen that before? He said, no. But wasn't it incredible? So we went from an okay day to a good day. Because once in a while, five out of five people say yes to Jesus. The whole village had said yes to Jesus. I said, like, how do you know they said yes? And he said, because I told them, like, do you realize what you're saying yes to? Like, and they said, yes, you preach to us about good news. We've never heard news so good before. This turns out to be a village of actual lost people. They don't have a clan. They're just bits and pieces of people all like, just trying to make do. In the team was someone who lives close by. He's going to disciple the village. I think we just planted a new church. Like, this is on the way to doing something that had nothing to do with this, we thought. Jesus opened up this incredible door of ministry. It sort of stirred up our faith. Like I've read before of whole villages coming to Christ. Hey, in the book of Acts. I've read that in mission books. I've read that in MB Mission journals, but to actually see people like hear the word today, it was today. And this, as we close, is the life that Jesus wants to bring us to live with expectancy. You go to school, you go to work, you're in your neighborhood, you go to wherever your sports team, whatever it is that you do, have the eyes of faith, have the eyes open that God has you on mission. This is the vision statement of your church, following Jesus on mission. He really means it. Will you follow me? In just a moment, we're going to be led to the Lord's table those of us who are walking with Jesus, it's a powerful reminder of the grace of God, but this city is so lost, my friends. This is the call to mission. Yes, to the ends of the earth. Yes, to help Chinese people in Africa hear the gospel. We're going to work on that. Pray. But in the meantime, you are sent people, commissioned by the Holy Spirit to live on mission where you live. So as you leave this place today, remember how Zacchaeus was called out by Jesus. Jesus calls people. Jesus calls you. Jesus calls me. Remember Jesus' mission statement, because the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save the lost. I ask you to pray as we close. Have you actually given up on someone? If you're a Christian, my first question, have you come to peace with Christ? If not, today is the day, today. Second question, have you written off anyone? You thought, my family member, my neighbor, there's no way that they're ever going to be interested. My friends at school, there's no way they're going to be interested in Jesus. Allow the Lord to touch your heart as you would repent and say, Lord, I confess that that's sin, that's wrong, that's telling you what you can and can't do. Jesus, have mercy. And lastly, I pray for the Holy Spirit to give you fresh power, that you would live joyfully, boldly, humbly on mission for Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for this wonderful group of people and everyone that's attached to them, especially lost people. We pray that today your kingdom will advance for your glory. Amen. Amen. As we wrap up, and as Pastor Xavier comes, are you, what's next? You're the worship team next?